too soon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you to meet you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Give it to you. How you want it in a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five door on primetime. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the world ain't Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
Ladies who just like to tune in to hear our voices, what's good? It's the greatest day of the week, which can only mean one thing. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the roundtable by my bros, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin, the HBC. World Cup group players wrapping up, and the group players wrapping up. And the we're going to be joined by international correspondent Waji Jibuno. He's going to be live with us from Lagos, Nigeria in about 30 minutes to discuss that. We'll also be talking with Chicago Bulls guard Ronnie Brewer about his Brew Crew basketball camp. And in the final hour, we'll get you ready for tonight's NBA draft with predictions and analysis. So keep it locked right here and make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. Or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join in those conversations as well. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number, as usual, is 323-410-0012. But before we get started, just make sure during the week you make some time to visit our network. That's WRSPN.com, or you can go to our main site, WarRoomSports.com, and listen to some of the best talk radio the Internet has to offer. You can hear shows such as the Broad Street Line with Roy Burton and Chris Domingo. By the way, those fellas just broadcast their 200th show. Hard work and dedication, so shout out to those fellas. You can hear Sports Trap Radio with Brandon Pemberton, the Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast with Kamal Hilton. That's a popular show right now, especially while the World Cup is going on, and a whole lot more, so make sure you get over to the network and check them all out. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on FatsRadio.com. Generals, what's up? Y'all ready for this draft? I was a little tongue-twisted.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it get over with, man. I'm tired of all these trade rumors,
yo,
man.
trade rumors, draft rumors. Bump all that. I think that I'm in the sports war room wagon. And I'm just coming from Wegmans, and Wegmans, y'all definitely need to cut the check. But I thank God that Wegmans exists, man. And shout out to them for cooking the best lamb in the world. I know that ain't got nothing to do with sports, but, you know.
Oh, bro, Ham, I'm with you. Yo, Wegmans is more than a store. It's an experience.
Yo,
again, cut the check.
I got freshly dipped.
Yeah, we don't
got,
always have
I
to throw
on
a disclaimer, man. This is a life show, man. We talk about life on this show.
Yeah.
So,
I got my
polo tee on. I got my fresh Asics that glow in the dark. You know what I'm saying?
It's
my
an event, man.
Fitted. I went in there.
It's
yo,
an event.
Dog, well, I stopped getting dressed once we started World of Sports, but outside of that, like, yo, Wegmans is an experience, yo. Like, it's more than a store. It's like, yo, I take a whole day to go there, B.
I've heard the fresh
chicken.
I've heard it referred to as the Disney World of grocery stores. Disney World.
Yo, but this is how you know I'm old as hell. Yo, I'm sitting there getting excited talking about Wegmans, B.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right, well, you know, like I said, we got a couple of, you know, great guests calling in today. We got YG calling us all the way from Nigeria. So, man, that's great
Victoria
in itself.
Victoria Island,
you know,
in the building.
I'm going to try to avoid the mistake of calling the sports soccer while he's on the air, because he might, like, reach through his phone and and try to destroy me. But
it is football.
That's what's up. Yeah, so we'll be talking to him in about 25 minutes. I believe it's probably around 11 o'clock p.m. over there. So, you know, we get him in here, let him talk his ish, and then he can go to sleep,
so,
get everything ready for tomorrow. But, Jim, let everybody
know,
man.
We are in Nigeria, yo. We do numbers in Nigeria,
yeah.
Man. We got a huge Nigerian fan base. Shout out to the Nigerians out there.
Shout out to the motherland, man.
Don't blame
but, Jim, let everybody
email.
Know
don't,
what
don't
happened this week
the
while they were on the grind.
Yes, sir. And for those who don't know or maybe have never listened, make sure you continuously listen through the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android and iPhone. But anyway, While You Were on the Grind is actually brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. Now, Let's go over these stories. Let's start with this. LeBron Raymond James. His wife causes a stir on IG, or the gram, as some people call it, with a home sweet home post in reference to going to Akron. Some people look at this as a sign that, you know, the, LeBron James was going back to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's a lot of speculation going on. What did you guys think about this whole controversy about LeBron James and his wife?
I think the thirst is real. As they say, hashtag the thirst is real. You know, they are from Akron, from all accounts, and this could just be cover-up, but, you know, they say that they go back to Akron, to their home in Ohio, and spend the summer with their kids every year. So this is supposedly something that no one should look into. You know, she's just saying home sweet home because the season is over and it's time to go home. At the same time, people would probably wonder, like, if you guys live in Miami, why would you go to Ohio for the summer? But then again, you have to think, like, Miami is probably not the place for the most famous athlete in the world during the summer while he's married with a few kids. So it's probably best that he does go back to his hometown. So, you know, I think it's just what they said. I think it's just a stir. You know, she may have known, you know, what she was going to cook up by doing that, but I'm not really.
I look at this a couple ways. First of all, once LeBron, she actually put the post up before he said that he was becoming a free agent, so speculation has been running crazy since you put it up. But once LeBron announced that he was opting out, there were a lot of dehydrated teams in the league. In fact, every team in the league became dehydrated. We saw team after team try to create scenarios in which they could land LeBron James, including teams that are over the cap. They were talking about cutting their entire team. Excuse me, to bring in LeBron. So it's a lot of dehydration in the NBA. That's one thing that's hilarious. The second thing is it probably was something just very innocent. But at the same time, if you're in her position, you got to understand how things will be looked at. And I'm pretty sure she does because, for the most part, she doesn't make a lot of mistakes. You see people's wives and girlfriends starting all kinds of trouble and causing all kinds of controversy. So I'm pretty sure she's been schooled on how to behave in her position, and that's not sexual. All you women out there are going to say, what you mean, how to behave? But at the end of the day, she understands that her words have power because she is like his queen, so to speak. So I think it was innocent, man. We'll see what happens.
Oh, behave.
Brother Austin, you know what? You ain't got to say nothing, Brother Austin, because all you're going to do is find a way to make this about LeBron not having a post game. So,
I don't know what's going on. But you don't sound right now.
Yo, B. Austin looks like he's trying to find Nemo. Well, I'll move on to the next story, because we already know what B. Austin going to say anyway. Let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about Hope Solo, the football legend Hope Solo. Football legend? Yeah, anyway.
Got that.
Hope Solo pleads not guilty to a domestic violence charge. Now, this is interesting because when you hear domestic violence, people automatically assume that this is a male. But Hope Solo. But not guilty.
She's beating up her dude.
Yeah, what do you think about this story, then?
It's interesting because, like you said, the first thing you think of when you see these headlines, damn, like she beat her dude up or something, but police basically saying she was intoxicated last Saturday and was accused of assaulting her sister and her 17-year-old nephew. Hope Solo, I'm not going to just label her as out of control, but this is not her first scrape. And, you know, a lot of people surrounding Team USA basically saying that she may be out of chances because she keeps getting, you know, in trouble off the pitch. Ah, you see, we all over this this football lingo. She gets in some trouble, out, you know, off the pitch, and people are basically tiring of it. You know, first of all, Hope Solo, I'm not saying she's not a good player, but, you know, how she got into the psyches of the American people in the first place because, you know, of the way she looked. But, yeah, she may just be out of chances, man, but I don't know what that means in her world. We've seen this plenty of times in the worlds we cover most, football and basketball, and, you know, we've actually seen dudes out of chances, but we've actually seen people speculate that somebody's out of chances and then they keep getting chances because athletes are special, and we all know that.
But I'm about to take it a whole different place now. If her name was Henry Solo, would she be having all these opportunities? And also,
Henry Jackson.
Let's just say she was had a darker pigment when she get all these chances. But I'm a chill. I'm going to leave it at that, man. That's all I got to say about that, man. You know what I mean?
Ask Pac-Man Jones. I don't know.
You know? Shout the whole Solo,
ask
man.
Pac-Man. He's still
around. Get off that grown-up juice, Hope. You got to get off that grown-up juice. Here's another story for you. Speaking of men of color, Evan Turner, that's right, Evan Turner, former Philadelphia 76er, now Indiana Pacer, ran out of gas on a highway driving a Ferrari. Who runs out of gas driving a Ferrari? Like, I mean, that's the first thing you got to think of. He ran out of gas driving a Ferrari. Now, we all know that Evan Turner, I shouldn't say that, but some people say Evan Turner has some screws missing, but I don't say that.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
I'm 50
Evan,
Turner.
Evan Turner had a nice young lady with him, and they happened to run out of gas on a highway. What do you think about this, Dev?
Yo, it's just funny. I know people are probably like, why the hell y'all talking about this? Because it's funny and we feel like it. Especially because his homie that he called to help him, you know, to bring him some gas, you know, videotaped the whole thing and put him out there. So now he's on every newscast gassing up his Ferrari with a plastic container. And dude probably bought him regular gas to put in his Ferrari. But like you said, he had a young lady in the car. You have a Ferrari. You are a millionaire. There's probably not a scenario in which you should be in this situation. But this is just one of those things that remind you, as much as we put celebrities, athletes, you know, entertainers, whoever, on pedestals, they are just regular people, you know, when it comes down to it. You know, I got a lot of homies who would make that same call. They're not really driving Ferraris, but, hey, I don't know. It was just funny, though, and I could picture Evan Turner in the situation, like, oh, Bugatti.
Bugatti.
We're going to run out of gas.
shout out to Evan Turner, yo. That's a funny story, man. Like, when I heard the story, the first thing I did was laugh. I knew he would talk about it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's a major sports story, but Evan Turner is a friend of the war room, yo. We bang with Evan Turner, but, yo, come on, cuz. You in a Ferrari.
You're talking about me driving my Ferrari.
Yo.
Shout out to
Evan Terry,
right.
Yo. Something may never
get
done.
Right, so man.
All right, chill regular, man. Let's talk about this, man. Let's talk about the Uruguay striker, Luis Suarez, banned 9 matches for biting Italy defender Giorgio Chiellini. That's right. He bit him. Mike Tyson.
Yo, you Mike Tyson? He Mike Tyson? Yo,
yeah.
I saw the,
because
I wasn't
what?
Actually watching that game, but I saw the replay. And the go ahead. Austin might be going the same place I'm about to go. Go ahead and say what you were about to say.
The worst thing about all of this is, A, he tried to justify it, and B, he flopped around like a floundering fish and lied and said he got hit.
He tried to put his hands up like he didn't do it. But it's like right before it happened, you know, they had audio of him on the pitch saying,
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Yo,
Allah!
It's one of the single greatest quotes in the history of what we call sports, yo. The one thing I have to say to this gentleman is this has been light in terms of on the grind, but sir, you have completed our on the grind.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You have been nominated for the infamous JoJo Award, which is given out in the War Room for those who may be listening again for the first time. We give out a JoJo Award for those that should be ashamed of themselves in the way they carry themselves in the world of sports and beyond. So, Luis Suarez, you are our first JoJo nominee this evening. Gentlemen, do you think anybody
for the rest of the evening will be able to top that? I don't think these can top that, but I still want to nominate Hope Solo for, you know, getting jacked out of her mind and beating up her sister and her nephew.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Remix.
The way you carry yourself.
Should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, one more thing, yo. If you drive a Ferrari, you should run out of gas, yo. Evan Turner,
you should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
That's right.
Yo.
We have multiple JoJo nominees already.
Yo, if you're a chick and you date Evan Turner,
you should be ashamed of yourself.
All right. You wanted to throw that in there.
We all caught up on JoJo.
First you dating him, and then you sitting there while he, you know, filling up his car. Probably ain't had no air conditioning in the joint either.
Yo, do you put air conditioning in the Ferrari, though? I mean, most of the time your top would be down, like, you know.
His wasn't.
Anyway, man, listen.
Gotta have air conditioning.
He ain't had no gas.
I mean, yeah, how about that? If he
so
the
air
anyway,
definitely wasn't on.
No,
so she was in there sweating. Damn, Evan.
Shout out to Evan Turner for having the only Ferrari to roll up.
Smelling like cheap Gucci perfume and sweat.
Yo, those are the stories that happened while you were on the grind. You know, Dev, tell everyone who's having a birthday this week.
Yes, sir, it's birthday time, and birthdays, as usual, brought to you by our favorite doctor, Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit our homie, Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. She is treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. So visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. And when you dial 703-379-0700, make sure you tell them that War Room Sports sent you.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right, birthdays today. Man, we got the guy who used to be my number one point guard in the league until I don't know what happened. Darren Williams turns 30 today. Shout out to Darren Williams. Yeah.
Hey,
Dev. Supposedly he ran him out of town, but.
Yeah, I got a question about Darren Williams, yo.
What happened to that boy? What happened to that boy? What happened to that boy? He was.
I don't know. He shows flashes now. You know, every 10 games or so, he has a Darren Williams type game. Who'd you say, B?
I said they put a clap into that boy.
Yeah, somebody did. Speaking of point guards, Raymond Felton, who was just traded, by the way, probably in the Knicks' attempt to get rid of everybody on their roster to make a run at Melo, LeBron, and whoever else is going to be out there. Raymond Felton just turned 30 as well. Michael Vick, the quarterback, the backup quarterback right now as it stands, may not finish that way, of your New York Jets. He turns 34 today. Mike Vick came out last week and said that, you know, he basically was the first of these athletic quarterbacks, and he revolutionized the game.
So he's very happy
with his career, and, you know, he just jumped over Randall Cunningham like he never existed. But I feel you, Mike. You know, big yourself up. You're trying to stay in the league. You're trying to get that money. So shout out to Mike Vick on his birthday. He's 34. Former Jets quarterback Chad Pennington, the smartest quarterback with the noodliest arm ever, turns 38 today. Derek Jeter, the captain, the New York Yankee, he turns 40 in this, his last season in Major League Baseball. Shannon Sharp, the former tight end of Jimmy's Denver Broncos championship teams, turns 46. Jerome Kersey, former Portland Trail Blazer, turns 52.
Yeah.
And another one of Jimmy's former Denver Broncos, Jumpy Gathers, turns 54. So I like to give all of these homies a nice big War Room salute on their birthday.
One more, Dad. We got to throw this in there.
Mm-hmm.
One more shout out to at KCMac38 on Twitter for reminding us Hal Greer, the legend Hal Greer.
How did we forget Hal?
We supposed to be from Philly. We just got our cards.
Hal Greer is a Philly and Apollo legend, so we got to salute him.
Man, shout out to Hal Greer and his gunning-ass progeny.
It is all good. All right, so, you know, we got a few minutes before we get our first guest in on the line. But before we do that, we'd like you guys to check out our website, of course, at warroomsports.com while you're there. Be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com while you're browsing the site. Don't be lazy. Click on the memorabilia tab so you can buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com, to listen to the network that we tell you about every single day at wrspn.com, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app, where you can get everything I just named in one place on the go, right there in your pocket, your hip, wherever you keep your phone, your purse. I'm talking about men and women, wherever you keep it. So join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom to enter the chat room to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, just click follow. That'll get you updates and reminders about the show. If we do a special show that's not on our regular time, you'll get that to your email. You can tune in just like you usually do. But we'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room. To call in and speak with us directly, call the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. All right, so the World Cup, you know, is going down. We just talked about Luis Suarez biting people and getting suspended for 9 matches. Have you guys been following? I know, you know, we're not the biggest soccer football fans, but I've been following. I think it's been kind of interesting. This is probably, you know, the only time I actually follow it this closely. It's once every 4 years, so I guess I'm a World Cup bandwagon type dude. And during the Olympics, I'll follow it. So, what about that match earlier today? U.S. took the 1-0.
I just can't. I really put forth the effort, you know, as a professional and someone who wants to communicate my feelings about said sport. I can't, though, yo. All it does is make me look at the calendar and try to figure out when football starts. Maybe I shouldn't call it football. Like, you know. Anyway,
American football starts.
Hand egg.
Man, I enjoy football in all forms, and you know, I've seen some
some good matches on the pitch. I'm surprised by certain teams being garbage, but well, I won't say garbage, but taking L's in this tournament. Maybe because I don't watch enough, I shouldn't be shocked. But Portugal, they seem wholly reliant on Ronaldo. Like, they can't do anything without him. He's it. Argentina, again, they seem wholly reliant on Lionel Messi's left foot. I didn't realize that España was going to be kind of an underachiever. Netherlands, the Netherlands seems like they're a shot type of team. Iran, I mean, why are they here? Nigeria always has tremendous athletes, tremendous run, and very little discipline. So they always are kind of a flash in the pan to me type of team. Ghana seems a little disappointed, you know, a little disappointed in Ghana. The U.S. is on the come up. I think that they have finally kind of turned the corner with all the money they put into their program and finally gotten to a place where they can be considered an outside contender to win it all. And they're actually good. Like, they're a good team. I was sitting around, like, asking the Ghanaian national team, how do you allow yourselves to lose to these schmucks? But they're not really schmucks. You know, they're not really schmucks. They've got a great front line, and defensively they're solid on the back line with their halfback. But so that's my right, little bit of analysis.
Now, that's cool because we have our expert, our War Room Sports international correspondent. You probably have seen him on our blog. Anytime anything needs to be expressed from the international perspective, not just, you know, football, but, you know, he writes about American football, basketball, all kinds of stuff. But we got him on the line with us straight from Nigeria right now. So this is very long distance right here. But we got Waji Jubino on the line. Waji, what's going on, man?
Not much, Devin. How are you? How's everybody?
I'm pretty good, man. Thanks for calling. I know it's late over there.
Waji, how's everybody, your brother? A little bit
be
of
awesome. What's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm chilling, man. Great to hear you. What's up with the World Cup? Let's jump
Thank
right
you.
In it. Was my assessment on point?
Your assessment is somewhat on point. You know, I gave you the side eye when you started talking about Nigeria, but I'll forgive you for that. but notwithstanding,
right, well,
this is probably.
Let me ask you specifically.
I'm sorry,
Roger. Let's start specifically with the U.S. team. Because, you know, I know you follow the whole thing, so I know you're well-versed on that, and you spent time in the States, whatever. What is your opinion on the U.S. team? Of course, we know they've advanced to the round of 16, even after the 1-0 loss to Germany earlier today. What do you think about this team, and can they do anything in the round of 16?
Well, it's interesting. Like, you know, I always categorize different teams as favorites, as competitors, and dark horses. Dark horses being those teams that have an outside chance that if they do everything right, they can actually win the World Cup. And for the first time in my 32 years of watching this tournament, I'm putting the United States in that category of the dark horse where they have everything it takes to win. I have been impressed with the physical ability. I've been impressed with the mental agility of these players. Jurgen Klinsmann, the coach, he's really prepared them in a very particular way. You know, you've got a lot of players who are based in Europe who get how the international game is played, and they're looking very good. They're looking strong. They're looking determined, and I was impressed. I'm impressed with the team. I'm impressed with the fans. You know, when I lived in D.C. and Atlanta, nobody knew what soccer was. You know, people just would be like, oh, there's a big game going on. But now, you know, everybody's following it. There's a lot of interest. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of emotion. And I think it would definitely help the U.S. team knowing that people are supporting them the way that they're supporting them. So, I mean, I'll be one to say, you know, I'm not necessarily a a huge fan, but I'll definitely give props for props to you. And the U.S. men's national team has come a long way, and they do have an outside chance of winning the tournament. I'll give them that.
Waji, let me just back up, and you brought up a very, very valid point, and one that I want people to pay attention to. Jürgen Klinsmann, the U.S. national team's coach, I give him probably 80% of the credit for where they are right now. His coaching prowess is amazing because they've had talent and ability for a long time. But he's got them playing the international game. He's got them ball.
Exactly.
It's on him, man. He's it. He's the reason to me.
Is that everybody was upset with him a few weeks ago because he said the team didn't stand a chance. Yeah, it probably was just modest coach speak.
But not only that, you know, he made a controversial decision when he dropped Landon Donovan, and everybody was going crazy about that. Like, how can he drop him? But it was all part of his strategy because he knew Landon's been playing in the MLS for the last couple of seasons, that he hasn't been doing his Euro exchanges and things like that. So Jürgen Klinsmann knew that he was not going to be able to perform at that level. Whereas you look at someone like Clint Dempsey or Jozy Altidore, they've been playing in the highest leagues in England and all over Europe. So those guys know what to expect from Lionel Messi. They know what to expect from, you know, the Ghanaian team. They know what to expect from Germany. So that kind of experience and Jürgen Klinsmann knowing that if you want to compete, you have to have players that are operating at that level competing. As far as the U.S. men's national team is concerned, the biggest component is Jürgen Klinsmann and his ability to understand what's required and the type of player selection that he comes up with. So it's just been fascinating. It's been fascinating watching the U.S. national team get to where they are, and I'm very impressed.
All right. So what's basically your wrap up of the group stages? What are some of the takeaways that you got from the group play?
Basically, like I was saying, this has probably been one of the most exciting group stages the World Cup has seen in like 24, 28 years. You have a situation where there has been 114 goals scored, and the average prior to this was like 72. So you're just seeing like a whole bunch of entertainment. You're seeing countries go hard. You know, you're looking at the likes of, Brazil, Netherlands, Argentina, of course, Germany playing at very high levels. Then you saw Spain crash out. You saw England crash out. You know, and then also from the African perspective, you know, we were expecting a good showing, especially with the likes of Ghana, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Cameroon, and Algeria, because they all
I got beef with the West African teams, man.
Yeah, the West African teams disappointed, man. They should have dominated pretty much because they had everything it took. But fortunately, you know, Nigeria came out. We did what we had to do, and we qualified. And just about an hour ago, Algeria also qualified. So at least we've got some representation going into the next round. But it's been a great opening games for the World Cup. South America representing hard as hell. You have five out of six South American countries qualify, and you're going to see some explosive games going into the next round. You know, the first two games are Brazil versus Chile and Colombia versus Uruguay. Now, that's going to be very exciting, you know, especially because these are all South American encounters. So these dudes know each other. They play each other all the time in the continental competitions. So it's going to be very, very exciting. And the viewership and the interest in the World Cup is what it is. It is the biggest tournament in the world. It does not get any bigger than this. And just to have all these different countries in there playing at the levels they're playing at, it's some exciting games, and it's just a pleasure to see everybody in it.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, Waji. How you doing? This is Jimmy, by the way.
Hi, Jimmy.
A quick question for you, though. At this point, who is your favorite? And also, outside of your favorite, who are you shocked to see exit early?
All right. My favorites
England,
are Brazil.
And Spain.
Well, hold on a second. My favorites are Brazil, Algeria, Netherlands, and Germany. Those are my favorites because they have just played Brazil, Argentina, Netherlands, and Germany because they have just played the best football. I think they, except Germany, they've all won all their games, and those are those are the guys that you look at in terms of who could possibly win the competition, who have the experience, who have won it before. You know, you look at Brazil, they've won it 5 times. Argentina, they've won it 2x. Germany, they've won it 3 times. Even though Netherlands hasn't won it before, but they've been to the final game 3 times, which is a pretty big deal. So, you know, you look at the teams with the experience and the pedigree, and then you look there. Now, when you begin to look at teams that have crashed out, I wouldn't necessarily say England, because I don't rate them to begin with, because they just suck. They've always sucked. So I don't necessarily think they're a good team. Spain, for sure. I didn't expect them to crash out. But the two other disappointing teams that really, really shocked me were Italy and Ghana.
Yeah.
Those squads had some serious players, and I think it was just an unfortunate set of events that just had them knocked out, because there was no reason why Italy and Ghana should not be in the round of 16. Especially Ghana. When you look at that game against Germany, even the game against the U.S., you'd be like, yeah, these dudes are some ballers. So it was just a question of how they were placed in the unfortunate circumstances. And that's what happens in football. You know, it could just be one or two decisions that don't go your way, a fluke here and there, and then boom, next thing you know, you're packing your bags and you're going home.
So for perspective, and I'm sure, Waji, you can kind of touch on this, Ghana's team, like, they're all first-leaguer, millionaire-type dudes for the most part, so they put together a bomb squad in terms of talent.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them.
All of them. So for them to be out is such a major disappointment that they're actually eligible for a JoJo Award, and they should be ashamed of themselves and the way they carried themselves.
Yes, they should.
And Italy as well. Italy as well was pretty bad. I disagree a little bit on your assessment of England, because maybe it's just because of who they are, but they get a little bit more fanfare than that, maybe more fanfare than they should. But everybody thinks England has an outside chance at every World Cup, and they always, you know, they always disappoint.
Yeah, so what does that tell you? That they suck. So,
basically. I don't know.
So
they're kind of like YG's Atlanta Falcons, man. they always flame out on us, man. Even when they're supposed to be. I had to take that shot.
Did the Eagles make the playoffs this year? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. This year, but you know, I don't know if it's gonna happen again. But it's all good. I'm okay with that.
All right.
I'm used to that. I'm all right with it. But we should be looking at an exciting round of 16. Then, you think?
Most definitely, it's going to be probably very unpredictable. To be honest, nobody can tell what's going to happen. So just expect some shocks. You may have a situation where you may have a new winner again, like we did in South Africa. But at the same time, we are playing the World Cup in Brazil. And the Brazilians will die before they let that win go. So expect to see some high tempo football. You know, expect to see some fireworks. You know, Nigeria, I'm going to support them all the way, no matter what happens. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting what happens.
Your country has a shot, man. Your country has a shot. They got a lot of talent. You know, I wouldn't say necessarily on the level of Ghana, but they're right up there. They got a lot of high-level players. So, you know, we'll look to see what they can do, if they can make some noise.
Well, you see, B, what I did was I gave up sugar for the World Cup, so in the hope that maybe, I don't know, the gods of soccer would see that as a noble gesture and make Nigeria win. So, I don't know. I'm hoping for something miraculous like that. You know, definitely.
True.
All right, well, Waji, man, you know we are thankful, we're grateful for you to make this call. Like I said, I know it's late over there, and I know it's a very, very long-distance call. So, you know, just everybody, just watch out on the War Room Sports blog at warroomsports.com. You can catch Waji's writing there, and we'll have him back on the air to talk a little World Cup as the weeks come along. So thanks again, man. We really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Very quickly, fellas, I will be in D.C. for the World Cup final. I'm coming in on July 9th. The World Cup Finals on July 13th. So we should definitely meet up and do a War Room Sports Final broadcast, whatever. We can, I don't know, we can do something.
Yes,
sir. You know?
We might do something. We might be able to do something by video. So, yeah, definitely.
Exactly. And that would be great.
Stay in touch. And when you get here, we'll holler at you then.
True.
All right. Fantastic. All right, fellas.
All right, man. When you do that, safe travels.
All right,
we'll see you then.
Easy.
All right. Take care, guys.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
All right.
You definitely need to
YG
queue up.
YG Juvenile, everybody, calling live from Nigeria. Talking that World Cup, man. Everybody's in a frenzy. What were you saying, B? Jimmy, you got to get into it.
I was saying we definitely need to queue up that JoJo Award for Ghana, because when I say that they really flamed, like that's the equivalent, almost the equivalent of the Heat not making the playoffs.
You
should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
I'm just going to take your word for a good problem.
Yeah, man. They got players making five. They got players, you listen, $500,000 a week. Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself, man.
Maybe that's why they didn't make it, though.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? I can't call it that. I mean, you know, I've been trying my best to, like, really get into the hype. It's crazy, though. Like, you know, I was downtown today, and I just saw multiple restaurants that were off the hook. Everybody, you know, most of them faking the funk anyway. But still, like, you know, even the fact that a casual person will fake the funk is still amazing. So I wonder what happens, or does it have any momentum after this, or does it just, like, subside and once football starts, no one cares again? Well, excuse me, American football starts.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna see the frenzy that you see during the World Cup, but I think as the generations change in the U.S., I think soccer is getting bigger and bigger. Yeah, I mean, because if you think about it, the generation that's, you know, the young kids now, everybody plays soccer now. Like, everywhere you go, you see kids out on the soccer field, so it's a little more popular than it was, you know, during our generation, because I can tell you, besides maybe being in a store, I've never put my foot to a soccer ball before in my life. So it just wasn't something that they offered back where I lived, you know, where we grew up. So
I'll go a step further. Where I was rocking and hooping at, if you played soccer, you probably were cool with Michael Sam in my eyes. So, I mean,
I'm going to get one on as well.
I'm
not going to go that far. All I'm saying is I agree with Dev. It wasn't even an option, you know, when I came up. So it definitely is an option now. So, I mean, only time will tell.
Look at the four letters. Look at the four letters covers of it.
At the turn of the century, boxing was crazy. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That's just
capitalization at its best, because you rarely see anything about soccer on the world. I mean, on the four letters, but then when the World Cup come around, they got all the games. that's just capitalism right there. I ain't mad at it.
They got this show that's based in England. Now, maybe they were teeing it up for the World Cup coming around, but they started kind of about a year ago kind of throwing this show in the mix in the morning and even giving it a 5-minute piece of Mike and Mike and all of that type of stuff. So I think they're trying to flow with the tide, if you will. And as you say, it may be just capitalism for the World Cup, but it just feels like there's more attention being played to football.
All right, well,
I mean, like I said, time will tell whether this is, like, temporary or whether it's something that will last, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I'm looking forward to it, because I see a lot of people flaking and perpetrating and scared to kick reality.
Precious. Yeah, I mean, I can tell you a lot of the fan base, it'll definitely die down. It'll die down for me. It'll die down for us. You won't hear about it too much with us until World Cup or Olympic time roll around. But I'm learning. I'm trying.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, everybody out there listening, because we got a gang of people I see that are listening, and a lot of people hit me up on Twitter, like, what do you think about soccer as a sport? I mean, because I just want to know, like, will this translating? I mean, I guess obviously you'll get a little bit more fans, but, you know, long term, I just don't know, you know. So let us know what you think out there in terms of the fanfare, you know what I'm saying, about the screen.
All right. Yeah, so B. Austin, I don't know if you've been watching some of this this pre-draft, this pre-NBA draft coverage, but are you seeing what some of these dudes are wearing tonight? It's getting out of hand.
Yo.
It's really getting out of hand right now.
Yo, man. Yo, Russell.
It's like
Russell,
who can dress?
Man,
who can be the who can be the biggest weirdo? Who could be the biggest weirdo? That's what it is. So, as a matter of fact, man, we have another guest on the line who's actually been through this. So we'll ask him a few questions about that. We got Bulls guard slash forward Ronnie Brewer on the line. He's been in the war room before. Ronnie, what's going on?
How much? How y'all doing?
Hey,
yo,
Ronnie,
what's
good?
How
are you?
I'm good. I can't complain at all.
Ronnie, this is B. Austin, and before we get into it, I got to ask you, man, you can be politically correct if you need to be. What's going on with this fashion in the NBA, man? You can't talk to some of these young boys, man. This stuff is not, yo, come on.
You say what's going on with fashion?
Yeah, what's going on with the women's clothing, man? It's bad, man.
You call it women's clothing?
Well, basically, I mean, you have stylists who are coming out there and they want to be different. And as a athlete and as a personality, you want to set yourself apart from anybody else. So you can only have your own style, your own swag. So if it's okay with you, you leave it up to other people to judge what you have on. If you like it, it's okay with you. You know, you don't have to live up to anybody else. But, you know, I'm not with a lot of that stuff. But, you know, that's what you should do. To be honest with you, some people's fashion.
Yeah. Now, Ronnie, we definitely, you know, we want to talk to you about your camp because we know that's going on right now. But before we get into that, we just wanted to ask you a couple of questions because we know you've been through this before. You know, the NBA draft is tonight. And for the most part, you know, we always hear athletes in any sport talk about how, you know, this night is like a life changer. You were, I believe, the 14th overall pick in the 2006 draft. Like, these hours, like right now, leading up to the draft, maybe like an hour or so out, like, what were you feeling? Like, was it a nervous thing, or were you feeling happy? What was the feeling like?
Honestly, it's like the best and worst feelings you'll ever have in your entire life, all on steroids by a million, because, one, you know, in a couple of hours, you'll be able to set yourself up for life. You'll be able to take care of your family, you know, put them in a situation that, you know, you've probably never been in a tax bracket you'll never be in. But at the same time, the idea of the unknown is it makes you so nervous and, you know, cramps in your stomach. And for me, you know, I had a great time because I had my family able to attend with me. So that was a great experience. And You know, it was they enjoyed being in New York City for the first time, but at the same time, I was nervous because I worked out for so many teams, and you hear so much positive and negative feedback, you don't really know what to believe. You know, as a basketball player, you want to believe the positive stuff as much as you hear, but then you hear negative stuff, and you kind of start to believe it a little bit. But whenever it's over, you know, you're super excited, you're ready to rejoice, and you know, get to work immediately and join the new team and meet your teammates immediately.
Cool. Out of the crop that's going to be in tonight's draft, because it's supposed to be a pretty deep one, who are, you know, just a few guys that stand out to you that you think are ready to play in this league right now?
I mean, honestly, the top three picks, anybody could go. If it's Parker, Embiid, or Wiggins, either one of them going number one, two, or three are going to be game changers in my opinion. Those guys are phenomenal players. I mean, you saw them on the college scene as incoming guys, freshmen, being game changers on major programs. So for them to come to any NBA team, you know, they have a huge upside. You know, those guys are, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old. You know, they have so much room to grow and so much potential that, you know, it's just their rookie year is just going to be the beginning. So I'm looking forward to whoever goes first. I'm looking forward to following their career. And like you said, it's a very deep draft, and, you know, it should be interesting to follow, you know, where everybody goes.
All right. Now, in addition to the draft, we know, you know, the free agency period, you know, is looming. A lot of guys are opting out of their contracts, maybe looking for new teams. Now, there's rumors that, you know, a guy like Carmelo Anthony might end up with you guys out there in Chicago. Now, I believe you played with Melo in New York, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you have experience playing with Carmelo. Do you think that the guys in Chicago, because we all know that, you know, you guys on that team have a certain culture, you know, and play defense, and Carmelo kind of has a reputation for not being much of a defender. Do you think those guys will welcome him, you know, with open arms if he did end up signing in Chicago?
I think so. I think as a coach with the NBA, when you get a guy, unless he's just a plague to the team, you know, you get along with almost everybody who joins your team. And with a guy like Carmelo at his caliber, you know, I think we would welcome with open arms. And if you look, you know, at Melo's career, I mean, he hasn't been on much of defensive teams, but whenever he went to New York, his defense improved. I mean, whenever he wanted to go out there and defend, I think he did a fairly good job playing the 3 and the 4. So it's not like he can't play defense. And I think Coach Tibbs does a phenomenal job by teaching the X's and O's and where you need to be and where you need to be in position that, you know, even if he's not a phenomenal defender, that, you know, you can, even if he plays, you know, half the way he did anytime, I think it'd be a great job because you have guys like Joakim and Jimmy Butler and Kirk Heinrich and D. Rose coming back and other defensive players that you can might hire somebody or maybe help Melo become a better defender.
Hey, Ryan, I have a question. Right, you brought up Coach Tibbs, and I've always been impressed at what he's able to get out of his players. He seems to get, like, more out of certain players than other coaches. Excuse me. What makes him special as a coach playing for him?
To be honest with you, I mean, life, jobs, NBA, sometimes it can become about politics. It could be about favoritism or whatnot, who you know, where you came from. You know, Coach Tibbs, you know, calls it as he sees it. You know, if he doesn't feel like you're playing great defense, he's going to challenge you to be better. You know, he's not going to take a lot of BS from anybody just because you're a superstar. He wants everybody to come out every game, every night, every practice, and give 110%. And that's what you want as a professional. That's what you want as a teammate. And I think that's why guys like Joakim Noah stands out there. Taj Gibson stands out there. Derrick Rose stands out there. Jimmy Butler stands out there. And other guys who've been able to play under Tibbs has been able to, you know, raise their game a little bit because, you know, he warns you to play at a high level and he gets that out of every player.
Yeah.
All right, no doubt. Now, Ronnie, we had you on around this time last year, you know, talking about your charities and talking about your camp. If I'm not mistaken, the Brew Crew basketball camp is going on right now, right?
Yeah, man. This is the eighth
year. You want to tell everybody about
that? Yeah, this is the eighth
year
we've done it. This is my eighth year doing it in my hometown of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I have it at the Boys and Girls Club out here every year. I give scholarships to, you know, at-risk kids who can't afford to come to camp, you know, teach them the basic fundamentals of basketball. And, you know, every year I've had a huge turnout. This year we've had over 150 kids from, you know, kindergarten to 12th grade. So it's been a great turnout. Great coaches come to help and volunteer. And the kids are, you know, coming in every day working hard. And it's been a real pleasure to work with these kids. So next year we're looking forward to getting bigger and better. We have my charity weekend coming up this Friday and Saturday. So, you know, we had a long week and a big weekend planned. So I'm looking forward to all that.
Okay, how many days is the camp, you know, every time it's run?
The camp is Monday through Friday, and it's from 8 to 12, like I said, from kindergarten to 12th grade. And you know, it's been a blessing that, you know, every year that we've had a lot of support in the community, and it's done a really good job for the community.
Okay, and you actually get out there on most of the days, right?
No, not most of the days. I'm out there every day the whole entire time.
I thought I remember hearing that somewhere, because a lot of guys show up and talk to the kids for 10 minutes, but I hear that you actually get out there.
That's not really my thing. I feel like if I'm going to put my name on it, you know, I'm going to have to go 110%. So, you know, every morning I come up and I get breakfast for some of the kids who can't afford breakfast, who come to the camp who can't afford it. I go to get them some breakfast. I show up 8 o'clock every day, and I'm there until at least 12:15, make sure they either they're going to an after camp program or they got a ride home from their parents. So I'm out there every day, Monday. Actually, tomorrow's the last day. But, you know, I enjoy working with the kids. I enjoy seeing in their eyes that they want to get better, even though it might be their first time ever playing basketball. You know, then go out there and try to play and enjoy it. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, that's an honorable thing, man, because I'm going to keep it real with you. When I was a kid, I went to Sixers camp, you know, trying to meet Charles Barkley, but he showed up for about 5 minutes. So I spent most of the camp with, like, David Wingate, and no disrespect to David Wingate, but he's no Charles Barkley. So, you know, for you to have your name on it and, you know, actually spend your time, that's an honorable thing, man. How important is it being a professional athlete to kind of, like, show your face and give back the way you do?
David Wingate used to D up.
In Georgetown, not in the league.
Basically, man, I feel like what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind whenever you're done playing basketball? And, you know, I want people to, when they say my name, especially in Northwest Arkansas, that, man, not only did he, you know, come to school here, go to high school here, that whenever he went to the NBA, he still came back and still did everything he possibly could for the community. And, you know, it was a real blessing today that we got to break ground at the Fayetteville Boys and Girls Club on building an additional gym so they can play. We teamed up with a church. They're going to help build classrooms. I'm going to help build a gym. And they started construction today, so I was very excited about that. You know, my foundation does so many things in this community. And, you know, whatever team I play on, I just don't want to just keep it focused on where I grew up. You know, whatever team I play on, I've been blessed to play on a lot of good teams. And I try to be active in the community as much as I possibly can. If it's the Boys and Girls Club in New York, or if it's something in Chicago, school systems, whatever it is, I try to go out there and leave a good positive, you know, attitude on the kids and something they can look up to.
All right, cool. So before we get you out of here, Ronnie, just give everybody, you know, your website so they can go check out, you know, everything that the foundation is doing.
Okay. If you go to RonnieBrookJr.com, it'll come up and tell you what my Facebook page is, my Instagram, my Twitter handle, and you can look and see everything that my foundation does over the weekend, what we do during Thanksgiving, during Christmas, the back-to-school giveaway. You know, I feel like if you have a foundation that you're trying to give back, it should be an open book so you can allow the people to see what you're doing, and maybe it can motivate people to be more active in their community. So if you go to that, RonnieBrookJr.com, it'll let you know exactly what I'm doing.
All right, man. So, you know, glad to have you back in the war room again. We look forward to having you in the future, but good luck to you and everything you're doing. Good luck to the Chicago Bulls during the off season and during the season next year. I actually picked the Bulls to win the NBA Finals this year, like in my preseason picks, but, you know, health reasons and stuff like that,
it's
not going to happen. So one of these times, y'all got to make me look good, man. Y'all
got
to make me look good.
All right,
Dev's been picking y'all. Yo, he's been picking the Bulls for like the last four seasons. So he's riding with the Bulls.
We got a lot of listeners in Chicago too. So, all right, man. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time, man.
Thanks, Ronnie. Right, Take it easy.
That's Ronnie Brewer, everybody. Chicago Bulls. Philanthropist Ronnie Brewer. Yeah, we always seem to talk to him around the time that he does his camp. It's a pretty good camp, and like we discussed, like he actually shows up. I didn't mean to insult him and say most of the time. Yeah, he shows up every day. Like Jimmy said, we grew up and people put their name on the camps. Charles Barkley probably didn't even know he had a camp, Jimmy. They probably called him. day six.
Yo,
like, yo, we need
to all the
you to come by the
back
gym for a minute.
Because, you know, not all players are that. Like, yo, shout out to the L Train because he showed up for his camp, so did Randy Woods. A lot of the local cats actually showed their face.
I about to say, they were from there, though. They had to.
I mean, then again, we were in Philly, and it's their city. It's a little different, like,
yeah.
You know. But shout out to them anyway, man. But, you know, we try to bring on athletes that actually do something in the community outside of play sports because we turn down a lot of stink-ass athletes that are more popular probably but don't do anything, so we don't want you on. But I'm just keeping it real. But anyway, gentlemen, man.
All right, man. The draft is coming. I know a lot of people tuned in to hear this draft talk. So before we do that, I just want to let you guys know that you can check out our website at worldroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted if you're already listening from your phone. Just press 1 if you want to talk. And I think we had some people holding on while Ronnie Brewer was on. So you want to go to the phone lines first. We'll just pick this one up blindly. We usually don't do that. So whoever this
okay.
is, don't say nothing crazy.
No doubt.
Let's go to 410. You're live in the war room. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, what's up, man? It's your boy, Jonathan.
Jonathan, what's up,
what's going on, everyone?
We're good,
what's up, man.
What's on your mind?
Hey, man.
What's your Washington
Reagan? Oh, you know
Reagan
what's on my mind.
This year, man. The Washington Reagans.
Uh-oh,
wow.
Here you go.
No. I'm the first off. No, I'm not with y'all naming the team Reagans, man. Reagan was a dope dealer. But anyway, you want to talk about these traps, I see.
You're a Lakers fan,
shout
right?
Shout out to Oliver North.
Yo,
I'm
definitely a Lakers
fan already. I can't wish
you
on
said you
Harry
are?
4th of July early, and y'all going to start on me already.
What's good,
well,
what's
dog? Mind,
I called to basically discuss this whole, I don't know if you guys got to this yet, but the whole LeBron leaving Miami, and or possibly
yeah,
leaving
we can
Miami.
Do that.
I know he's doing it for salary issues and stuff, but he's now from what I understand, he talked to the other two guys with the Wade and Bosch. Am I correct?
Yeah, I heard they
had a meeting at a restaurant. My thing is, unless they're putting that out there, how the hell people know that it was a meeting about that? Why can't the cats just go to dinner?
They want attention.
Yeah, they want the attention.
I just want
because nobody had to know that they all live in Miami. Go to somebody's house and talk about it. But we want to do it in the public eye. But go ahead. What's your question, man? You know these guys.
My
these
question
days,
is:
man.
Do you guys see Carmelo and LeBron coming to my team, the Lakers? That's what I want to get down to.
You know, Jimmy's a Laker fan as well. I'm not going to rule it out completely because the Lakers, as I've been telling people, you know, all throughout last season when they're talking about how the Lakers are done this and that, I kept, you know, trying to tell people that the Lakers are putting themselves in a position cap-wise to where they won't be bad for long. The only thing that would mess that up, and even Jimmy always agreed with this, was we just don't know where Jim Buss's head is compared to, you know, his dad when he owned the team and
Dr.
when he Buss was allowing Mitch Kupchak to do his thing and all that kind of stuff. We don't know where Jim Buss's head is, but like that type of thing, if you can get two guys like that, that's kind of a no-brainer. So you can be the dumbest guy in the world and pull that off if you have the money.
John, I have a theory.
I think it's an attractive location, but I still don't know if those two guys will go there knowing that Kobe Bryant still has the remainder of his deal. I'm not, you know, I'm pretty sure.
They're big,
and I'm a Kobe fan, but I think that could be a turnoff for them just because we all know the equity that Kobe has built up throughout the years in Los Angeles. I'm not saying it as a, oh, nobody wants to play with Kobe type thing. I'm just thinking, you know, he's the man there until he retires. It's not even if his game falls off a little bit, it doesn't matter. Kobe is still going to be the man kind of in charge there, and I don't know if two other superstars, especially the best player in the league, is going to want to come there and be told what to do by another player. So,
yeah, well, Dez doesn't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. They don't want to play with Kobe. Like, that's my theory as well. Like,
I really don't want to say that. I think LeBron is the type of cat who would team up with anybody.
It.
I think it's more
thing,
for his mentality, not for, you know, his play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
but that's
what, you know what?
I think that Kobe is cut from a different cloth in terms of his mentality.
True.
In terms of his mentality, he's like a bridge between, say, the Jordan era and the LeBron era. He's that bridge, and he's cut from a different cloth. A lot of those guys are very tight with Dwight Howard, you know, the guy R. Kelly. I mean, Dwight Howard. And the thing is, Dwight has probably told them what happened to him trying to play for Kobe and how demanding he is as a leader of his team. And a lot of this new generation, they just don't, you know, subscribe to those same
things.
Don't
do that way. No. No. Jimmy makes some very good points.
They listen to Drake, and they don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah, I can agree. I can actually see that, a lot of that. I'm going to say that there's probably no way that Melo would play with Kobe. But I'm gonna come back around and say what Devin kind of said about LeBron. LeBron can kind of play with everybody because as great as he is and him being the best player in the world, he's a stan as well. Like, he's a bit of a Kobe stan. So I don't know. He may be down to play with Kobe, but I don't think Melo could.
I mean, if you're talking about styles fitting each other, I think Melo would fit better with Kobe if it was a twosome than LeBron would.
Right.
Kobe and LeBron would have the initial LeBron and Dwayne Wade problems of both of those guys playing the same way, needing the ball in their hand to be effective.
Need the ball.
I mean, if you're just talking about from a basketball standpoint,
I think
Melo would be a better fit.
Here's a question.
I see LeBron going back to Miami. I see him going back to Miami. I think it might mean something to him when people say, look, man, you're the best player in the league. You need to get people to come play with you. Because I still think it's a situation where Pat Riley is going to try to do anything he can do to bring more talent there. So this opt-out might just be a renegotiation, you know what I'm saying? If you can get Bosh and Dwayne Wade to opt out too, even though if I'm Dwayne Wade, the way I've been playing, I'm not opting out of Jack. I'm getting that money.
Because
he can't really justify it. Like, say if they opt out and try to take, like, $15 million each, Dwayne Wade really can't justify getting paid $15 million, so he better take his 20 and tell them, like, I'm blowing
Dwayne
this up.
Wade.
I don't care what y'all talking about.
He might
Dwayne
want
Wade
to
satisfy $7 million.
But hold on, though, Dev. In my opinion, and this is not based on anything, I don't have any special knowledge of anything, I think that there's only two places that LeBron will go, which is to stay in Miami or to Cleveland. And that's just my personal opinion. That's just my personal opinion because, I think LeBron cares a lot about what people think about him, whether he wants to admit it or not. And it would be crazy for him to go back to Cleveland. It's like a Disney story if he would go back to Cleveland.
Prodigal Son Returns.
Yeah, and also, I'm also a conspiracy theorist who think that the NBA will love that story and that narrative as well.
They've given them the number one pick like 19 times since LeBron left, so, yeah, they
pretty
love
much, pretty much. Also, I think it will be interesting to see how people reacted if he did. All people said he left. People who hate him and that's their reason for hating him is leaving Cleveland. Like, what happens if he goes back and still remains the best player in the league? So, in my opinion, those are the only two options. I think if I had to, like, give it a percentage, I'm thinking, like, you know, maybe 70-30. 70% he stays in Miami and renegotiates his contract and allows him to, tool up, in the words of Marlo Stanfield, just tool up. So
Melo might end up down there. I'd lose all respect for Melo, but he might end up in Miami.
Yeah, everybody's
going. And my final question, and I'm going to leave y'all alone, and this actually goes into that. With the Miami situation with LeBron opting out and everything like that. A guy at my job was asking this question. He told me, make sure you ask those boys this question when you're on their report today. I was like, do you think there's dissension in that Miami locker room or dissension between the players or or Riley and the coach or something, because I thought Pat Riley's press conference was, well, we both, well, me and my co-worker thought his press conference 2 or 3 days ago, it was like he was saying something, but he wasn't saying. And then
he was taking shots,
after,
basically.
2 days later, LeBron said, oh, I'm out. Well, LeBron was supposed to be on vacation.
Yeah, it seemed like he was taking shots a little bit at LeBron, and what he was saying was kind of hypocritical, because he was
absolutely
saying, you know, when things get tough, you don't just run, but you got him that way. You know, that was basically, you saw things getting tough for him in Cleveland, so you went to him with this sweet situation, or I mean, really, from all accounts, the players kind of set that up, but either way, that's how you got him in the first place. So now, if he decides to leave, you can't run around saying stuff like, when things get tough, you know, you can't just run. Like,
what if he goes
on,
back?
That's why I'm going back
where I should have been in the first place.
Is that similar to what happened in Cleveland, though? Because didn't the owner, after LeBron decided he was going to take his, you know, take things and move to Miami, whatever the situation, didn't he kind of come out and said it in so many words that, oh, so things got tough, you ran?
Dan Gilbert aired him out. I don't think Riley's gonna go hard like that if he leaves. But Dan Gilbert aired him out. You know, talking about
that
Cleveland was gonna win the championship
before
LeBron, which was BS.
We have a comment in our chat room. Shout out to Jetty Mar for tuning in. He said Dan Gilbert will be kissing Bron's ass. Like, so how do you guys think Dan Gilbert would react if LeBron hit him up like, yo, I'm thinking about coming back? After he aired him out.
Just like Jetty Mar just said, he'd get on his knees and start kissing his
cheeks. I don't know.
But,
you guys fell in
the after the way he reacted when LeBron left, that's why I still don't see him going back to Cleveland. Because
but
dudes still own that team, no matter if that's your home area or not.
But,
They're
billionaires, and they're not going to kiss someone's ass. You can forget that right there. Hmm.
I don't know, but if LeBron chooses to, you would have to have no pride.
Or Dan Gilbert. I mean, honestly, the way Dan Gilbert responded, it was definitely an emotional response. Look, if LeBron said he was coming back, Dan Gilbert would arrange 1,000 days of blunkings, and he would start with giving him the first one. I definitely believe that, but I just think that LeBron would have to be spineless and prideless as a man.
1,000 days of
bunkers.
Hey, Jonathan, you said billionaires don't kiss people's ass, though.
Perhaps she's made some mistakes. I thought she cared for me. I was stupid. How could a girl care for a man 51 years old?
Yo, he's fine.
She didn't think she wouldn't release those tapes.
He made an emotional statement. How much? You guys know more than me because I don't do advertising, right? How much does it cost to do a newspaper article in today's world to do a newspaper ad? Probably, what, $5,000?
Well, it depends upon what paper.
In that area, probably not.
Politics, whatever it is. For a guy who's so-called emotional, I know $1 billion ain't nothing to him. Well, I thought that was kind of odd for him to take out a page just to attack LeBron.
I thought that was more emotional, man. He was scorned. Seriously, you can't blame him because of the way LeBron did it. Like, you don't have to go on national TV to tell everybody you're bouncing on us. You know, they probably thought, oh, this is just the fanfare of it. You know, he's going to do this and come back and everything's going to be happy. And then, you know, he played him out. So you can understand him being upset. What's hard to understand is to do that in public. You know, really be a man about it. Call him. You got his number. Call him and air him out. You don't have to do it in the in the newspaper. So,
it went to charity,
I mean, all in
though.
All, he played himself anyway because everything he said was stupid. You know, we're going to win a championship before you. Like, dog, do you see who he just teamed up with? Like, not going to happen. But, so, he played
himself. You guys
himself.
Are
so
great, man. I love you guys, man. You guys,
thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. You guys take care of yourself.
Get
RG3
all right, you
some,
too.
Hair wax.
I'll say, there you go. Take care, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, so, you know, I think if, like Jimmy said, if LeBron called there saying he had interest, the ass-kissing would, you know, if he showed interest. If it was just a situation where they just have to court him like 18 other teams, then it might not be to that level. They might just do their professional thing. But if he calls and says, look, man, y'all in my top two, y'all in my top three, oh, the ass-kissing is going to begin. I don't care how much money you got. That's just
absolutely
bottom line.
Man. I just, you know, at the end of the day, I think that my
40 Blunton, 40 Ways
front runner, but I mean that wouldn't shock me if that happened, man, because I think it's all scripted anyway. But you know, let's talk a little bit of the draft, and we can mix the LeBron talk or what have you within that.
Jim, by the way, speaking of, because I'm, you know, I got the pre-draft stuff up on my monitor. Jabari Parker's getting interviewed, and he got that Jordan pin on his tie. I don't know if you know, he just signed a contract with Jordan Brand, so he representing already.
So how is that? How is that not a conflict? But I'm gonna leave that alone, though. You know,
need a better
I'm gonna
cut,
leave that alone. You know, I mean, Mike does what he does. I mean, he invests in these young men. He also invests in the prison industrial complex. So Mike takes advantage of black boys. That's what he does. But anyway, listen though.
I think I'm changing my mind too, man. Wiggins. Uh-huh. Wiggins, his suit is stupid, so I think I want Parker now in the Sixers. Go ahead.
Wiggins up there looking like Diddy and whatnot. You see, the boy's suit is out of control right now. But, you know, hey, listen, if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Let me repeat that because I'm looking at these dudes' suits and I kind of stumbled because yo, these suits are out of control. Fathers, you got to stay home. And that's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Right now I'm finishing up this Sugar Ray Leonard biography, and I'm also listening to, you know, a book right now that is going to get me in some trouble. You know, it's a Black Panther book, but I'm going to leave that alone. But it's a lot of great books on Audible, a lot of great sports books, a lot of great sports biographies. There's also several books on Michael Jeffrey Jordan to see how he exploits people to make his money. But it is what it is. Let's move on and talk some hoops, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Absolutely,
yo,
man.
Curtis Blow is nice. Uh-huh. Terrible.
Nice.
Basketball is my... Yeah, Curtis Blow is nice and on a Crush Groove. That's pretty much it. But anyway... The entire draft has changed over the last several weeks. Everybody looked forward to this draft. Sixers fans were excited because they thought Embiid would be going number one overall and they would have their chance at Wiggins. But with Embiid injured, like, you know, is it a reach for any of the top three teams to take him? Not only the number one pick, but what if the Sixers took him at three? You guys are Philadelphia 76ers fans. I'm a Philadelphia 76ers ticket holder. What do you guys think about this? Like, if he would have dropped a three and your Sixers took him, would you be upset, or do you think he's worth a top three pick with all his potential?
Sound like Bielsa saying highly. I'm not going to say I'd be highly upset. I know what his potential is. I'm just scared to death right now, and I would be if I'm the GM of any of those three teams, because he has those type of injuries that linger. Now, the whole foot thing, especially in big men, you know, we've seen, you know, stress fractures, and we've seen foot injuries basically derail the careers of a lot of, you know, talented big men with a lot of potential.
Shout out to Jeff Rulin.
And we've also seen back problems linger for a lot of players and kind of, you know, take over the final years of their career, maybe speeding up the final years of their career. Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, you know, back injuries and foot injuries, man, they just linger in this game. We were talking on Court Vision the other day, and, you know, the homie Brandon Pemberton of Sports Track Radio, you know, he was telling us not to just dismiss knee injuries, because I was saying, you know, these days with modern medicine, it seems like an ACL might be a little easier to come back from than some of these type of injuries. And I don't want to dismiss that, because an ACL is still an ACL and it's serious. But, you know, in the last few years, we've seen it. You know what I'm saying? I would just be scared to death. I want to call it a reach, and I think it would be a little bit of a reach. But knowing that he is one of the better players in this draft, you know, you think he's worth the chance. But then again, you think of why you're that far up in the lottery in the first place. So you don't want to be wasting picks. Now, the Sixers have two picks in the first 10 of this draft. I don't think if he doesn't go in the top three, I don't think he would slip down to 10. But if there was a scenario where you could get him at 10, I'd be ecstatic at that. You know, if you can get a good player at 3 and then get a good player, then get him at 10, then I wouldn't be as worried about it because you still may have picked up a good piece to your franchise.
Yo, he could be in a hospital bed right now and he's going to go before 10. This whole thing with this whole thing in the NBA of like GMs, coaches, presidents falling in love with size is nothing new, Paul. But it's one of those things that me and B. Austin had a conversation about this offline as well as on Court Vision in terms of, you know, how the game is played now and the role of the big man. I know B. Austin is of the opinion that the big man's game has been diminished. There are no really great big men, and it's kind of like, you know, ruining the game. But, like, coaches still love size, and this guy won't fall to 10. I'd be shocked if he fell past 3 just because of his potential, his ability to grab rebounds, his ability to block shots. But I am also of the opinion that the game has changed in how it's played and that I'd rather have a strong wing player. How many dominant big men are in the game? Who's the last dominant big man to be drafted? I mean, some would say Yao Ming, unless you want to count Dwight Howard.
Are you counting
in our chat? Real quick, let me get a couple comments from the chat room.
About Yao, somebody else who had bad feet, who couldn't.
Yeah, how about that? Jetty Morris says that he'll be okay to let him sit out the year since they won't be winning, but he'd like Exum, though, if Wiggs and Parker are off the board. And also, there's still a chance they can get him at 7 in a trade with the Lakers unless Ainge pulls the trigger on him. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. There's a lot of different scenarios, a lot of trade rumors going on, but I don't see this guy falling that far. Now, I do know the Sixers called a couple players in to work out today, and one of them is B. Austin's favorite player in the draft as well as mine. The Sixers actually called him in today to work out, so now there's rumors circulating about that, you know.
Julius
and
B.
Austin, tell the people who your favorite player in the draft is.
Okay, Randall.
Yeah, the Sixers called two players in today. Noah Vonleh and Julius Randle, they called them both in for a last-minute workout. So, you know,
Randle.
That means they're trying to make some decisions here, some last-minute ones.
In terms of Embiid, I definitely think that from a size perspective, Collins, that he is probably still a top-10 pick. But for me, as a Sixers fan and having a vested emotional interest in the success of the 76ers franchise, I don't want him at 3 because bad things happen to us. We've had too many years of Billy King as the GM where he makes, you know, guys like One Move Thomas, Kenny Thomas, Squadrillionaire, he Chris Webber past his prime. He pays Elton Brand. Things like that have kind of jaded me. So I don't want to see us draft an injury-prone big. I can't take that for my nerves.
So basically, you're like a battered woman at this point.
Yeah, I'm not a battered woman, but I am a scorned fan. So when I look at that, that's a pro. I see a lot of potential in him. And the conversation that we were having regarding where the game has gone, David Stern started it, Adam Silver will continue it. The whole thing that you say about the narrative of the NBA being about the single player and the story that can be told and marketed around that single player, it trickles down to the actual game itself because most people can't relate to being 7 foot with crazy footwork, powerful and moves. It's easier to emulate taking long-range, low-percentage perimeter shots on the playground. So that's what's to America. That's what's sold to the world as
basketball to be consumed. So it's almost like today's game isn't about using intelligence, ball movement, and skill to get the easiest shot. It's about developing one-on-one skills to get to have the highest skill level to increase the percentage on a lower percentage shot.
Let me ask both of you guys a question that we got from Twitter, at CaseyMac38 on Twitter. He says, wouldn't it be worth drafting him if Embiid turns out to be the best in his class? I mean, we don't know whether he will or not. But he said Blake Griffin was drafted number one and missed 1 year and, you know, basically doubts that the Clippers would go back and try to take someone else.
Yeah, but he was already drafted. He didn't get drafted hurt. He didn't get drafted hurt. Like,
he got hurt in
Blake Griffin,
himself.
He got hurt in the preseason and got his rookie year back. That's totally different. Blake Griffin came in after, you know, killing college. Embiid just sat out of the remainder of the season. And now, come draft time, we're not even skeptical of him because of the same injury. It's a different injury. That's the thing that's scaring me. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If one of those teams, the Cavs, Bucks, or Sixers, end up taking him at that pick, like, it's not a thing where I would be upset. But, like I said, as a GM, it would just scare me to death. But sometimes you got to roll the dice on things. But I think his situation is different from Blake Griffin's because this dude was hurt 2 times, you know, before the draft even came around. So, you know, you're looking at being
injured. It's also one of those things where now there's this whole thing of, you remember the story of the sand buoy? And then again with Greg Oden, another wing player, being Kevin Durant. And, you know, you just think, like, wow. Could it happen again? Let's just say they reach and take him at 2, and then the Sixers take Parker, who turns out to be like a Hall of Fame player. Like, so, yeah.
Let's say the Cavs take him at 1, and then, you know, Wiggins and or Parker become right.
And the thing is, man, it's like
Jimmy, the overall value of a quality big man to me in today's game is actually higher than it's ever been because they're so far and few between. Like, they're not out there. Like, guys that are 6'10 want to be stretch fours, want to be athletic threes, and want to tell people that I can be Kevin Durant and play the 2 at 6'10. So no one wants to go to the pivot and be Al Jefferson or Greg Monroe or Julius Randle. So I think Embiid, if I look at it from that perspective, outside of being a Sixers fan, I think Embiid carries more value in this year's draft than ever before because he's a rarity. They're all good bigs.
Well, yeah, that was obvious. The fact that Parker, especially Wiggins, came into college with all of the fanfare of, you know, if he could go, this guy would be the number one pick in the draft right now, and then all of a sudden, towards the end of the season, Embiid, you know, has vaulted up to the top of the draft, and this is somebody who hasn't played organized ball that long. You know, you see potential, and you see potential in a 7-foot frame. It's still the same old story with GMs, whether, you know, the league is going a different place or not. But, you know, when people, you know, the old cliche, if you're going to make a mistake, make it big. So, you know, as a fan, I'm hoping that Cleveland jumps out there. You know, he might end up being great for Cleveland, but at the same time, I don't know if, you know, I want one of those wing guys for the Sixers, preferably Wiggins, but, you know, I don't think they could lose with Parker as well.
All right, well, here's something
I don't know. We'll see how it'll go.
According to Jetty Moore in the chat room, he says only the top 3 teams, as well as the Celtics and Lakers, even got Embiid's medical records. So no one else, I guess, even requested to see his records. So that should tell you something right there.
They knew. They must have known he was going in the top.
Well, that's still twofold. That could either mean, you know, those are the only teams interested, or that could mean that the other teams don't care. If he falls to me, I'm taking him. I don't give a damn what's wrong with him. So it's still twofold, in my opinion.
Now, another comment from the chat room. Leroy also says, he says, B. Austin, if you take Embiid, and he's able to dominate with Noel coming back as well. And, you know, let's just say everything works out. He said the Philly will run the
and
East.
Thad Young? They will what?
They will run the East.
I ain't going to say all that because there's still going to be two rookies. So yeah.
He said that
I'm not co-signing that, because even though I value the pivot player in this league, you need shooters, and we got James Nanali and Casper Ware.
What he says is he's a baby and he doesn't have
to keep naming them dudes like they're gonna still be on the team.
I gotta go with what I know, brother. That's all I know.
Sixers about to get LeBron, man. That's what I heard.
They're
getting LeBron.
They're gonna trade both top picks for LeBron. Let me ask you guys a dumb question. Would you guys do that? Let's say Wiggins sell the three. Would you then get rid of the 3 and the 10 for LeBron?
You have to. I mean, because even though, you know, we still talk about this, the conversation still comes up about the will of LeBron. The truth is, anywhere he's playing, he's making you a title contender. So you have to. You know, if you want to win now, you would rather do that for the best player in the league in his prime versus taking somebody that you think's going to be a superstar, but he's still an unknown. You want to be a contender right now, you grab him and you put some players around him, and y'all going to make a run at it in the weak Eastern Conference. At least, you know, if you don't get it, you're at least going to make a run at it. So, trade the next 3 years of first-round picks.
Sorry, let me ask you guys another question. Outside of Embiid, the Cavs reportedly are split on Wiggins and Parker. So between those two guys, who would you take?
Well, a little bit of context on that. Word on the street is that Parker, who is from Chicago, tanked his workout with the Cavs because he doesn't want to go to Cleveland. He'd rather go to Milwaukee because it's only an hour and a half away from where he grew up at. So he went into the workout and tanked it. Now, what the word
you're
is, banned. the GMs kind of, huh?
They kind of
know that he tanked it, and they still are willing to take the pick and just say, force him to play. Look, NBA is your dream. So what? We drafted you. Deal with it. The ownership hasn't had much experience in scouting him, so their only experience with him is him coming in at 255, out of shape, winded, and not giving it his all. So they don't want to draft him. They're all in on Wiggins.
But for me, I'm like, is that a tank? I mean, you can tank it by coming in and playing badly, but is it a tank when you come in and you're overweight and all that kind of stuff? Are you willing to go that far purposely? That's what, you know, when I heard that report, it was kind of, you know, I was looking at that kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, you tank it by going there and playing like trash and looking like you're disinterested.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I know that there was the disinterested part, but I'm saying, do you even risk, you know, doing something like that? Is it worth it to go in there overweight? Because then you got other workouts, so. Was it 255? Was it something where I'm going to go in here at 255, but, you know, in 3 days I'm going to lose all of that, and I'm going to go somewhere else and look great? Like, that's all I'm questioning. You can look disinterested. You can play bad on purpose. But a part of the tank job, was it really him being overweight, or is the dude just really overweight right now and winded when he shouldn't be winded? That might be something that could, you know, mess him up.
Short-term, I think. Short-term, Parker is the better fit for the Cavs because they need immediate scoring help at the three. Long-term, Wiggins makes sense because you don't need another ball stopper. You've already got Kyrie and Deion Waiters, who probably won't be there much longer than next Tuesday. But if by some chance Wiggins is still there, I mean, if Waiters is still there, then I think you've got to take Wiggins because his skill set right now and his ability to affect the game without the ball, i.e. from a defensive standpoint and rebounding, makes more sense for what they have right now on the court.
Okay, by the way, just for everybody who may be watching and or for the people who aren't watching, The Cavs are now on the clock. They have about 4.5 minutes to make this pick. So, you know, we'll get an answer to this pretty quickly. They're the number one team. I don't see why they would use the whole clock. But I'm just going by what the league is, you know, today. You look at a Parker versus Wiggins, and I would definitely say that Jabari Parker is more NBA ready right now. But I think when you put two players up like those two that play the same position, I think in today's NBA, I think you're automatically going with the more athletic person, because a wide open style game like the NBA, I think athleticism, you know, especially in younger years, just kind of trumps anything else. Jabari Parker is what they're going to want Wiggins to be, you know, in 10 years when he loses a step or, you know, loses a couple of inches on his vertical. They're going to want him to be, by that time, polished up and able to do other things like take you down on the block and abuse you, you know, shoot the jump shot. So I think Parker's game is very mature at this point, but just in today's NBA thinking, I definitely think that they're going to go with – If it's between those two guys, I think they're going to go with the athletic guy.
B. Austin made a profound comment. That's right. I'm giving you credit, B. Austin. B. Austin said that Dan Gilbert is about moving the needle, selling tickets, and everything like that. And Jetty Marr made a comment in our chat room, which is kind of aligned with that. He says, if the Cavs pick Wiggins, it's Dan Gilbert's pick. Because from what he knows, the GM actually wants Parker, but Dan Gilbert wants Wiggins. So that's there. So it kind of goes to what you said. Dan Gilbert is about, you know, building up.
Paid attention to the social media imprint and moving the needle in terms of being able to sell merchandise and ticket sales. And Wiggins got a much bigger footprint than Parker.
Shout out to Dan Gilbert because he wants to sell Fatheads. We are in business with Dan Gilbert. That's one of our sponsors. So shout out to the Fatheads brand. But it's interesting. I want to see, like, long-term what's going to happen between these two guys. I want to know, like, whether it'll be these two guys that are tied throughout the draft. I think both have the potential to be good players. I think Wiggins is a better defender. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Another thing I want to talk about is all the different offers that the Cavs are fielding. They are on the clock now, but there were all kinds of offers thrown at them from the Sixers. We heard offers from the Lakers. We heard offers from pretty much everywhere. Did you guys hear any offers that you would possibly consider?
Well, the 76ers offered them Thad Young and the 3 pick. Utah offered them Derek Favors and what do they have, the 4? And the best offer, I think, and I think we all agreed on this on Court Vision, was the offer from Orlando that would give them a Flalo and 2 picks, you know, 2 lottery picks for that number one pick. But we know pretty much the Cavs must have turned it down because a Flalo ended up being traded yesterday. So it seems like they've turned down all offers, and they are indeed going to go ahead and make this pick. I'm pretty sure they were intrigued, though. I mean, when you're dealing with the unknown and – you know, people are going to let you stock up, and you're in a situation where you need as much talent as you can possibly get.
I'd have taken that Orlando deal. I would have taken that.
It's crazy because the Cavaliers, right? That, like, I mean, even their coach, like, they got their coach out of nowhere. Their coach looked like they picked him out of a Jason Statham action film or something. Like, he was just a random bad guy in one of his movies. But they're a team that's trying to, like, rebuild them. Mike Brown set them back again. Jetty Marr points out that the Cavs have 3 first rounders next year, so they're in position to kind of rebuild that team. As is the Sixers, for that matter. The Sixers are in good shape compared to where they were just a couple years ago in terms of the age of the team, the salaries on the books, and draft picks. So I mean, the Sixers are in good shape as well. I mean, I think it's very interesting to see what happens this draft, because I don't know just how good next year's draft will be. I really haven't heard anything, but I know they've been bigging up this year's draft for years at this point. So, you know, there's a lot of good talent in this draft. Me and B. Austin have the same favorite player in this draft. Everybody knows I'm a Lakers fan as well, so I'm hoping he drops to 7. I doubt it, but
What do you guys think about?
I don't know.
Julius?
That's possible.
You think it's a chance he could drop seven?
Yeah, I don't think it's totally impossible. I think you know that would be a good pick. I mean, a lot of people have the Lakers taking Aaron Gordon at seven, but I still think that there's a shot to get Julius Randle.
Because from all
the mocks and the boards that I've seen, he's not as high on the board as I would think he deserves to be. And, you know, I'm not sure what it is that they've seen in him, you know, that doesn't make him, like, say, a top five player. But
athleticism. He does not have the athleticism. He doesn't have the athleticism that would allow him to be a double or a stuntman in Planet of the Apes. So it's
The next Zach Randolph, baby. They don't mess with you. Mine is pushing weight. He's the next Zach Randolph, baby. Listen, though, here's another thing. Everybody's favorite player over the last couple of weeks that I've been hearing about. I know that our draft expert, Brandon on Sports, doesn't like this guy at all. But I've heard him fly up the draft boards, and that's I've heard comparisons to even Kobe Bryant being dominant.
I've seen that as well.
I know Brandon really don't mess with the ball like that. So, Dev, what's your opinion of Dante?
I know you've got some strong opinions as well. I don't go as far as Brandon. I do think that he's going to be a good play.
One second, Bialton. They're making the pick. Andrew Wiggins is going to Cleveland. Damn, I kind of wanted him to be on the Sixers. All right, so I hope the Bucks go ahead and take Embiid so the Sixers can get Parker. All right, but go ahead. Dante Exum?
What I was saying is Dante Exum, I'm definitely not down on him the same way that Brandon is. I think that he's going to be a good player, but he's the same thing that – if you think of his game, he's the same thing that MCW is with less polish and a little bit more – he needs to grow a little bit more into his physique and frame. He can't shoot better than me, really. So he needs to work on that NBA J, because teams are going to back up off him and force him to shoot. He's a decent playmaker, has a good IQ, good motor, but he has some problems with some born ready type athletes. I saw him play in the under 19 EBYL, and Marcus Smart reached in his pocket, took his wallet out, looked in his wallet, took what he wanted, put it back, looked over at his girlfriend in the stands, blew her a kiss, and he couldn't really do anything. So he's going to have to get a little stronger and learn how to deal with NBA level athletes.
I feel you.
Dev, what's your opinion on all the hype around Dante Exum and the comparisons to Kobe?
Well, first, my opinion about Andrew Wiggins' suit is trash. But anyway, Dante Exum, I haven't really gotten a chance to really see what he can do. So, you know, most of my stuff come from what I've read. This comparison to Kobe, it was really in, you know, because – they were talking about maybe the Sixers taking a flyer on Exum at three. But along with that came rumors that if they did that, then they would possibly trade MCW, you know, the reigning rookie of the year. And I really don't like the prospect of doing that. But a few articles have come out in the past week to tell you, you know, at 6'6", the player that he reminds people of in his, you know, in his play and some of his workouts is Kobe Bryant, and he doesn't necessarily have to come in and play the point guard because, you know, he could possibly come in and score. From what B. Austin and Brandon were saying of, you know, the film that they've seen on him, his jump shot is not that good. I mean, that is not something that you really worry about because a lot of people don't come into the NBA with that legitimate of a jump shot. That can be worked on. Then there's some people out there who just never develop one. But I hear his IQ, his basketball IQ is off the chart. So if my team, the 76ers, were to take that flyer on him, I would hope it would be at the two guard. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I think that's unrealistic, and I think that's a lot of pressure to put on this young man. when you start throwing around names like the next Kobe Bryant. But we all know throughout the years they've put that label on so many people, the next Michael Jordan or, you know, stuff like that. So it's something that you got to deal with. But I'm not down on them from what I know, but it's I don't know. It's I just hope it doesn't come to that. I hope it doesn't come to
That analysis and comparison comes from people that just didn't have anything better to say at the time, because we all grew up around Kobe, watched him play, saw him up close and personal. Dante Exum will not be the same. He won't be the same type of scorer Kobe was at 17 when he's 27. He's not a scorer.
I think a lot of the comparisons right now are primarily based on body type. They're coming in basically height.
Shout out to Andrew Wiggins.
They're coming in basically.
Once you saw that track, B. Austin loves every woman that runs track, any ethnicity, any everything. If they run track, he rules with them. But
no, they have to be a sprinter. Got to be a sprinter or a hurdler, brother Jimmy. Got to be a sprinter or a hurdler.
All right, no long distance. Right.
He got a father, and he let him wear that suit.
Yo, how about that? How about that? Real quick, shout out to all my Sixers fans on Twitter, my fellow season ticket holders who are at me right now saying, what a waste of a last season, way to waste tanking. Like, they're already, going through it. So, and also shout out to the homie Hub
Wiggins
Roberts.
For Wiggins didn't work.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Hub Roberts, who says that it's a good pick, but he still thinks that Parker's going to be a better pro, and he'll bet anybody $50 that Parker will have a better season than Wiggins. So
what?
Some money real
quick.
him having a better season.
We're not drafting people
now
for their first season.
We're
drafting people for careers.
I'll give Parker the first three seasons. I think
Parker might,
that don't mean
season.
Anyway, but there's a bunch of Sixers fans right now ready to jump off the roof, so I want to see what the tweets and messages I get look like once they take Embiid.
Well, the Bucks are on the clock, and they have about 10 seconds to make this pick, so we can wait around to see what they're going to do, because this is where Jabari Parker wants to go, so I'm pretty sure.
Yo, my homie Adam Super looks like he doesn't eat anything but rice and dandelions.
Jabari Parker. That leaves the Sixers with the injured guy, unless they take Exum. Of course. We all knew it would play out this way. But Jabari Parker has been wanting to go to Milwaukee. Who the hell wants to go to Milwaukee? He's a different breed.
Yo, I'm trying to tell you, it's an hour and a half from the south side of Chicago. You're going to have cheap teeth and all them dudes up there.
It's funny because I know a lot of
Adam
people from Milwaukee.
Got to be like 6'6", yo.
I know a lot of cats from Milwaukee. Don't ask me how. But anyway, and they all – none of them like the Bucks, though. All of them are Bulls fans. Milwaukee is very close. It's very close to Chicago. But everybody I know from Milwaukee is Bulls fans, so, we'll see.
I bet you they were Milwaukee fans in 2001 when they were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Milwaukee is funny.
You lose interest in the home team until they do something.
The thing is, the Bulls is damn near a home team, too, just because of the proximity. It's like, it's like having a choice. Let's say Camden had a team. It would be the same way over here. Sixers stink, and say to Camden, whoever, the Camden drive-by shooters with competitors.
Camden is 5 minutes versus an hour and a half. They ain't got no
experience. This is true. I'm just, I'm trying to make a good example, man. You trying to ruin my example. let's say Mount Wall.
You can look at Camden. You can just go to Penn's Landing and look at Camden.
Let's just say Duffer. Or let's say Delaware had a squad then. The Delaware. You know what I'm saying? Wilmington.
But you can see Russia from Alaska, though. So if Russia had a squad. I like the Glenn Robinson comparison. He's compared to all these non-athletic dudes. Glenn Robinson will hammer on you, though.
Yo, Milwaukee had a squad when we was coming up, Remember Terry Cummings and Sidney Moncrief and Jack Sikma?
They used to be in the Eastern Conference Finals back then. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals the last two times the Sixers were in the finals.
They's tough. They's tough, y'all.
Melo.
Right, so Jabari Parker is going to Milwaukee. Our hometown Philadelphia 76ers are on the clock. We'll see where this goes.
We take Allen Iverson.
Bubba Chuck is back.
Oh, my bad.
Yo, Sixers fans are going off. Yo, one dude has said it's the worst day of his life. I didn't sit through a 19-win season for the Sixers to do this. Yo, it's not even the Sixers' fault, though.
Like, it's their fault. Like, yeah, it's not their fault.
It's a conspiracy to make the Midwest relevant. Yo, yo, I'm loving Philly Twitter right now.
All right, so either way, fella, what do y'all think, like LeBron and Melo opting out? Do you think it has any effect on tonight, you know, as far as trades? Because, you know, a lot of people are trying to clear the cupboard in order to get those guys.
No.
I kind of agree with you because one of you guys said on Court Vision that, you know, none of these teams are really in the running. For some reason, they keep, you know, reports keep coming out trying to make the 76ers a legitimate contender. I don't really believe that. Other than that, you could say the Lakers, what they do might have something to do with getting, if not LeBron, you know, just some high-priced free agents because, you know, they can easily trade out of that seventh pick and, you know, just keep doing what they're doing to clear the cover because the Lakers are an attractive market. They're an attractive franchise. So, you know, they're not a team that you usually see in the lottery.
There's my squad.
So they could possibly be the only team in the top 10 that has a shot at any of those guys. So it could affect them, but I agree with B. Austin. As far as everybody else goes, I don't think, you know, the LeBron sweepstakes will have anything to do with at least the lottery of this draft.
Yo,
I should be
still reading Twitter. Twitter going crazy.
I am crying right now. Yo, people are really, really pissed. The thing is, they look forward to this more than a season. It's crazy. But we'll see what happens. There's 50 seconds left before the Philadelphia 76ers to make their pick. Everybody thinks it's going to be Embiid. What do you guys think? Those listening to us as well, hit me on Twitter, the chat room. What do you think they'll do, Dev?
I think they're going to take a flyer on Embiid. I mean, they're like, look, their team is young, you know what I mean. So
Marcus Smart,
if you don't do anything in free agency, you know you're figuring the team is young. You know the point guard was just a rookie. Nerlens Noel is about to play his rookie year. So if you have to draft Embiid and sit him out a year, I think they might be willing to do that and have the patience of doing that. They just did it with Noel, and by all accounts, Embiid is an even better prospect than Noel. So it's like, why not? But
I mean, who else do you take at this point? Do you take Exum? Do you take Marcus Smart?
I mean,
Smart,
it's between – for me, I think it's between Embiid and Exum for the Sixers. But, you know, Billis with his – you know, I'm looking at his best available, and he has,
Randall,
like, Vonleh. He has Vonleh up there. He has Randall up there. I don't know. The time is out, so the pick has to come out right now. We'll see.
Let's see, Sixers fans.
They got photos. Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley,
Julius Randle, and Jenny Morris says Exum. Let's see.
I don't think Randle will go three.
Let's go to four.
I don't think there's a chance Randle will go three, but if he did, I don't think I would be upset with that. Unless, like,
well,
draft board last week had Philadelphia being able to get Randle at 10. I don't think he's going to fall to 10.
According to Yahoo, they already got Embiid. This didn't come out yet.
Okay. Yahoo in the back with Adam Silver.
Yep.
Why he smiling like that?
Because
you know we suckers. You know we suckers.
Joel Embiid. Sixers get another hurt dude. Hey, look, man.
In the long legacy of Chris Miller.
Try not to smile. Yo, is he mad? Don't be mad. Right? He look mad.
Yo, he said that's a dumb shit. Oh, my fault. Yo, who gets drafted third overall and gets that mad, though? Yo, did you see his video?
Sixers were a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals a few years ago, homie. Don't sleep.
Don't get all stupid with it. I'm not the only one who saw that, yo. I don't have my sound up.
Was he booed? Because he might be upset because he was booed. Was he booed?
He might have got the McNabb treatment.
Because I don't have the sound up, so he might. Somebody in the chat room, tell us if he was booed. Maybe he was reacting to being booed. Because really, if you're going three, then you really know by now. So why would your reaction be like that?
Yo, what's wrong with this ball, man? Maybe they drafted him for somebody else. Who knows? Let's see what. Yo, I can't believe you said that. Yo, they called the ball the next Serge Ibaka, like, you know.
Yo, what did he do?
Yo, at least he's going to get a hot girlfriend and he's African.
Yo, I can't believe he said that. Like,
everybody in the chat room, were they booing him? Like, what was his reaction about?
Yo, I can't believe I just saw that, yo. My man said, that's that dumb.
Now look at it.
Yo,
look, he's like, look, man, you on camera. Maybe he's behind us, yo. You know what? No, you know what, Jim? Maybe he's, like, because he is out there on satellite. Maybe he's behind us, and maybe he was reacting to something that happened before
maybe
they called his name.
Maybe Parker going number two or something.
Yeah, that could have been something like, yeah. Because remember, they may not have been showing him live. So, you know, they set you up and put you out there like that.
Yo.
I'm going to go ahead and take that, especially since he seems to be happy now. Maybe it was just a delayed thing where.
Yo, and I got some comments on Twitter that are like, people are mad that it's his response. Hold up, this MF doesn't want to come here. Tell him to go back to the Cameroon jungle.
Damn!
Like, yo, it's a lot of people were pissed at his reaction, but I don't think they realize it may have been what you said.
Yeah, I think it could have been a delay where he was reacting to something. Now, look at him holding his back, holding his feet. Come on, man.
Yo. They better have showed
a different reaction.
Shout out to Chris Webber and the New York dude from Duke. What was his name? Elton Brand. Shout out to the injured big men that played for the Sixers.
No, but think about this. 2 years in a row, the 76ers have gotten, you know, later, they've gotten who was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. So if these dudes can come out, kill it with, you know, with the injuries and be what they were supposed to be, you know, they got a little foundation that they can build from. Front line can be scary because, you know, both of these dudes are blocking everything that comes in there. So, but we will have to wait till next year to see our Twin Towers. And by then, they probably would trade one of them. They probably end up getting Noel to get his stock up and then trade him and then let Embiid come in and run.
Let's take the best case scenario, and they can in 2 years, you know, get both of these guys completely healthy. Like
Twin Towers,
they would have to be a contender with MCW at that point having about 2-3 years of experience. Like, yo,
they're not going to trade them, unless they get Exum at 10. Now we know they're not going to trade them, which they should.
Yeah,
that'd be young. I mean, you have to throw some good veterans in the mix, though. You know, if all your best players are going to be these young guys, you have to throw some decent veterans in the mix. And the Eastern Conference is not that difficult of a wall to climb, so they can't
be
not in the mix.
Gentlemen, it's been real, but we got to let our fans know we got to go.
Absolutely. It's definitely time to get out of here, man. Shout out to the first three picks. Nothing's really a shocker at this point. Everybody picked these three guys. And at this point, after the injury, everybody picked this order. So it is what it is, man. No shockers. All this trade talk and rumors and speculation for the last week, all for nada. Anyway, with that being said, thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good folks. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook and Twitter. The calls we called in and got through, we appreciate it. Shout out to Ronnie Brewer for calling in and chopping it up with us. For those we didn't get to, we apologize. Tune in next week, same time, same place, live right here on demand on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. We'll be all over the world of sports once again. So until then, enjoy the NBA draft, the rest of it, also the World Cup knockout rounds, and your week in sports in general. We'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter at War Room Sports.
Watch WarRoomSportsTV.com for all of our video content, and WRSPN.com, which is the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Until next time, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Aaron Gordon to the Orlando Magic. Lakers might get Randall, Jimmy.
Stay in tune to Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, be often Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com, get that mobile app. If not, dial 323-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.